Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be with you and look into God's Word. I thought after some of the thoughts that were shared this morning and the songs we sang there that maybe we should have changed the message to something on heaven. It did seem like lately that there was a number of deaths, some of them unexplained. Someone we knew from Blue Ridge, Yeager family, had a child die in their sleep. They didn't know what from. Was he 15 years old? Some of those things have happened lately, and from folks that we know, and you wonder what all God has in mind. But then I thought about it a little more, and the message that God laid on my heart this morning probably fits a little better than a message on heaven, even though we look forward to that time. Seems like in the last several weeks, a lot of us had plenty to deal with, a lot of sicknesses, maybe some personal problems or other problems we've had to deal with and have to try to decide how to handle life. We can begin to lose our equilibrium a little bit and maybe even our sanity. Is this normal for the Christian? So I like to look at learning to trust for a message this morning. Think about trusting God. Psalm 118, verse 8 could be a theme verse. It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in God than to trust in people. Now, why would the Bible say that? Well, think about your experiences with people. And we start to think really quick why it's better to trust in God than to trust in people. But when we have a problem, the first place we turn, it often is to a program of some kind or other, a resource. I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 6 and read some verses here. Turn to Matthew 6. So the message this morning, the purpose of the message would be to increase our trust in God, looking for a message of encouragement this morning. And I suppose if we're on the wrong road, it's a message of discipline as well. But Matthew chapter 6, I'd like to read what Jesus said about life. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus is talking about something very specific here, but he doesn't mention the word. What is the word? You can sum it up with one word, the word worry. Jesus is talking about worry. Why do we worry? Jesus says that we should stop worrying. Why should I stop worrying? Well, we know that worry doesn't accomplish a lot. Worry also does several other things. It's not good for our health. It's hard on our health. It takes up my mental power. When I begin to worry about something, that's all I can think about. I wake up worrying about it. Someone can talk to me about something and I don't even notice they're there. I'm being distracted. taking up my mental power. I forget to think about the things that I should when I worry. I'm not focusing on the things that I should. And we don't get done what we should get done because our head's not in it. Another thing that worry does to us. What else does it do? It tends to make us cranky, doesn't it? It makes us hard to get along with. That's what worry does. And most importantly, it takes us away from God. The message here from Jesus almost seems oversimplified. He says, just don't think about all these things. Think about God and what he can do for you. That sounds almost too simple. How can we do that? He says, just look at the lilies out in the field. They just grow and they're clothed perfectly. It just happens. I looked up the word trust in my topical Bible. Usually I would have looked it up on my computer, but when I began to study and it started working on my notes, suddenly my computer shut off and I realized my cord was bad and no way could I get it to start again. And so I started handwriting my notes and tried not to worry. And I pulled out the topical Bible and said, oh, well, look, I'll just go down through here and see what it says about trust. What do you think it said? It said, see faith. Didn't even have any verses under the topic of trust. So you go back to the section of faith, and there it was. Is there a connection? Absolutely, there's a connection between faith and trust. How do I decide that I should trust something? How do we decide that something's safe? Well, we take a look at it. I climb trees not every day, but pretty often. Other people want to do it for me now and keep me from doing it. But, you take a look at it. Is it safe or not? A lot of people say, oh, I'd never do that. But, well, we know a little bit about it. And sure, there's always a certain amount of risk when you get out of bed and go out the door. But the gear that we climb with is rated for 8,000 pounds on my rope. I don't weigh 8,000 pounds. I'm safe. I don't worry about my rope. My saddle, it's weighted for. I don't even know what the saddle's rated for, but far more than what it would have to be. And so I trust it. I've used it before, and oftentimes we look at it, we inspect it, we see if something's going wrong, but we trust it because we've used it before. Happened to me again this week. I was driving my truck. We went to the job. We worked for a while. Got to be lunchtime. Started the truck. Sat there and ran for a while. But when I got in to move it, suddenly the lights flashed on the dash, and I turned it off quickly because I wasn't sure what was happening. And went to turn it back on, and it wouldn't start. Bad connection somewhere. And I thought, surely. 6 years old. Can't be a problem. But after about 15 minutes, it started. Stopped over by the dealer and said, what's the problem? He said, we don't know. It doesn't have the problem anymore. You can't tell. The computer wouldn't tell him. And you have to wait till it does it again. Well, I had a lot of faith and trust because I had a lot of experiences with that vehicle and never had a problem before. And that's how it is with life. Because of experiences that we've had in the past, we learn to trust. We learn to believe in something. We have faith in something. We have expectations. So it is with our relationship with God. So often we look ahead and say, what can happen? Oh, look what all might go wrong. And we forget to look back and how God has planned and purposed our life so perfectly. Now, has our life been perfect? No. But as we look back in our life and experiences we've had and the children God's brought into our lives and the business opportunities or the houses that we've lived in or the friends or the people that came in and went out of our lives, we see how God moved and supplied our needs in many ways. Faith is key to trust. Jesus said, can't you see how simple this is? Just look at the plant kingdom. Every year they grow into a miraculous beauty, and God does it. How can this be? I took a walk out in the snowstorm yesterday, or the sleet storm, and I marveled at the animals. How do they survive? I've thought about that many times. You go out in wildlife and you sit out there, especially in the bad storms. This wasn't very bad, but how do they live? How do they survive? How do the deer, where do they go to stay warm, and how do they find enough to eat? And every year, here they are again. And the birds, I saw the birds flying around. There were still seeds, I guess, on the weeds, and they were wading them down and picking the seeds off and jumping on the snow and finding the ones that dropped. How do they stay survive? If you study birds, you'll find out that some of them have a very high body temperature and a very, very high heart rate, high metabolism. Some of them have to eat almost constantly to survive. How do they do that? God keeps them alive. What are you worrying about? That's what Jesus said. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 16. We're going to read from 16 down to 42. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He's preparing the disciples to go out. And he says, be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What ye hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Wherefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that shall lose his life for my name's sake, for my sake, shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And there's just a whole lot more in here than what I'm going to be able to cover. He's talking about a reckless abandon in for the name of Jesus Christ. What will you do for Jesus? What will you be willing to do? He's telling them that they were going to be out and they were going to be arrested. They were going to be dragged before kings. They were going to be scourged in the religious places. In the synagogues. when you think about that, our problems aren't really that big, are they? When did we have to go visit one of you brothers in prison because you got caught saying something about the name of Jesus? We haven't had to do that. We haven't even thought about having to do that. He says, you are going to go through really tough times. Shouldn't we be worried about that? Shouldn't we be worried about what's coming? Verse 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how you, or what you shall speak. He says, when this happens to you, this is going to happen, but when it happens, you don't need to be worried about it, because in that moment, my grace is sufficient. When we get to that moment and we have that emergency, suddenly there's grace and strength to carry us through that problem. And so we don't need to fret and worry about it before we get there, because when we get there, that's when God gives us the grace and strength to do it. If God gave us the strength now, we would feel invincible. But no, he waits until we're in the moment, in the problem. Another thing that you notice here, as he talks to the disciples about this, he makes a case about these people and how wicked they are and how their father is the devil. And then he says, fear them not, because all this stuff that it's covered, it's going to be revealed. You know, there's a big push to get the truth out. Tell the truth. Show what's going on. There's all kind of problems and people don't know the truth. And we feel like we have to push it out there on social media or wherever and get the truth out. We don't have to get that truth out. It's going to be revealed. God's going to reveal it. There's nothing that's hid that won't be revealed. Nothing in darkness that won't be revealed. And so we can find a lot of strength in that as well. That there is a day of reckoning, and God's going to even the score. God's going to take care of it. We're in God's hands. God's going to take care of those things. I'm glad that I don't feel like I have to be a part of the Republicans or the Democrats right now. I don't have to worry about that. Let God settle that score. That's man's problems. That's God's problems. That's not our problem. God even knows all the details of our life that we think are trivial. Two sparrows being sold for a farthing, for a few pennies. God knows about that. My family often hears me complain about the hair that I see in the bottom of the tub after I take a shower. Where does all the hair in my head, where's it going? Not supposed to be there. Doesn't seem like I've lost a lot yet. But slowly, it's receding. Slowly, it's disappearing. Often notice I've said goodbye to a dozen or more. It falls out. Well, it happened a lot more quickly to some of my brothers, so probably I should be thankful and not worry. I don't even know how many fall out during the day, where all my DNA ends up. But God knows. God knows. That's what he says. It's not the very hairs of your head. God knows. What does that matter? Unless we're worried about beauty. What does that matter if God knows? God knows the things that don't even matter, much less the things that do. God notices every detail of our life. Do you know the average human head has 100,000 hairs? Average human head, you lose about 100 every day. That's what I found. I don't know the exact source that it was. I should have noted that. Also, your hair grows about 0.0173 inches every day. So a little more than a hundredth of an inch every day. I'll just write it down. You have 100,000 hairs. And we're growing 0.0173. That means in 100 days, you know how to do this, school children? In 100 days, your hair would grow about 1 3/4 inches. That makes sense, right? About in 3 months' time, a little over 3 months. So that also means that you are growing about 1,730 inches of hair every day, if you add them all up. Little details that don't matter, but it matters to God. See, 100,000 hairs, so go one more. Yeah, divide it by 100,000. So how many zeros do we have to move? So you're growing about 1,730 inches of hair every day. God knows all kind of details about us that we don't know and that we don't think matter. God cares about all those details. We have immense value in the sight of God. So why are we afraid that He's not looking out for us? Why are we afraid that He's not looking out for us? What if I would lose a family member? Or what if I would find out that I have cancer? Or what if? We start going down those lines. It doesn't matter, because God has our best in mind. And if that's what He has for us, that's what He wants for us. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And so to not trust God, to not have faith in God, is to deny Him. It's really what it is. Deny Him. Let's trust God. Verse 36 to 39 talks about people of our own household. You know, the things that are the most dear to us are also the most dangerous to us. The things that are the most dear. Because if it becomes a problem, it's the hardest thing to give up. If your family begins to influence you in a wrong way, they're the hardest to give up. The things that are the most dear to us, like our possessions, our occupations, our investments, our hobbies, you know, our relationships, those things are very dear to us, but they can lead us off. If they begin to lead us off track, they're terribly hard to give up. So the things that are dear to us are the most dangerous, can be the most dangerous. Because if they begin to take our focus off God, it's so hard to let it go. He that findeth his life, verse 39, shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The man that thinks he's getting life all figured out may actually be the one that's losing it. And the one that thinks he's losing it, giving up his grip and handing it over to God, is actually the one that's finding it. We tend to choose things that corrupt, that wear out, but God gives us a relationship that'll last forever. And there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of verses in the Bible that talk about faith and trust. It's just through and through the Bible. So if you're struggling with faith or trust, just go ahead and look up faith in a topical Bible and start reading. Start reading. It'll do something for your life. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'd like to look here at 7 steps to trusting God. I want to read verse 1 to verse 12 and then go over these quickly. My son, forget not my law, Proverbs 3, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. What are some steps to trusting in God? The first one I see is trust in the Lord, verse 5. Don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on yourself. Number one. Most self-improvement books and classes call you to look inside yourself. When I look inside myself, it's not real pretty. If you want to fail, keep looking inside yourself. No, we must trust in the Lord. Depend on God. Verse 5. And we can say, Lord, I have this in mind for the day. But if you have other plans, you know, I'm in. I'm game. Let me know. Allow God to be in charge. You know, this is the first step to finding salvation, is to recognize our need and realize that we need help. It's also the first step to trusting in God. Don't depend on yourself. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We need to cry out to God. Number 2, cry out to God. Don't be too proud. He will always hear the sinner's cry for forgiveness, the cry of repentance, cry of surrender. What's mine is yours. Cry out to God. Ask God for help. Acknowledge God. The third one that's here is in verses 7 and 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Flee evil. Run from evil. Say no to sin. Sin blocks our walk with God. We need to get it out of our life. Get rid of the bad influences that are in your life, the bad friends. Get rid of those things, the things that are taking you away from God. This is how, one of the ways that we can learn trust and faith in God. Let's get rid of the things that are taking that away. This will bring health to our life, he says in verse 8. Strength to our navel, marrow to our bones. Relying on God fixes so many things. Takes away a lot of things that we thought were problems. Fourth thing you find in verse 9 and 10, put God first. Put God first. We have a lot of big ideas for our life. Well, put God first. We have plans for our time. Put God first. And we have a lot of big ideas for our paycheck. We need to put God first in that too. In all our ways, he says, with all thy first fruits of all thine increase, honor God. He said, give that 10% or whatever it needs to be. Give that first. The fifth thing I have here is double check your life by comparing it to God's word. I pulled two verses, not from here, but somewhere else. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't trust in yourself. You see what the Bible says? You compare your life with God's word and you realize that you can't compare your actions with your own thoughts. You might decide that you're okay and you're not. No. Compare it with God's word. Psalm 119, verse 11 gives the other side of it. Longest chapter in the Bible. Should be able to find it. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You want to increase our faith and trust in God. Hide God's word in our heart. Compare your life with that. Double check your life by comparing it to God's word, not some other faulty standard of excellence. Number 6. Listen to God's Spirit. He says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither be weary of his correction. Don't despise it. Rather, listen to it. Listen to God's Spirit. He wants to talk to us about these things. In verse 12, the seventh thing I have here. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as the Father the Son in whom he delighteth. Talking about that experience where the Father and the Son delight in each other. Rest on the Lord. Rest in God. Trust God. Why do bad things happen to good people? God's making us better. That's why sometimes these disappointments come into our life. Don't get bitter. It'll keep you from getting better. Rest in God. Trust Him. How do we get there? You know, Jesus in Luke 17 told the disciples about some hard things that they would have to go through. And the disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said, it's simple. Just start with some faith the size of a mustard seed. That's all you need. Just a tiny little bit of faith. And it'll grow. You'll be able to move that mountain. You'll be able to pluck that tree up and plant it somewhere else, and it'll grow. And how can we do this? Just go out there and do it. You'll find out. We can do the impossible. It starts really simple. So we're just encouraging us to take the first step. In closing, I'd like to read a couple of verses from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. This is the other side of all this. Talked about a lot of giving up today that we have to do in our own life. And it's hard to do. We don't really want to do it. But look what we have. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this is this whole other side to this story. Jesus was here. Jesus walked on this earth. He lived like we live. He faced the same things we faced. Now he's in heaven. Stephen, when he was dying, he looked into heaven and he said, I see God and I see Jesus by his side. And we know that Jesus is there interceding for us today, the same man that faced all these things. So we need some faith and trust in our life. Let's pray to God, ask him for help, knowing that Jesus is there right now interceding for us right now. Let's kneel for prayer.